run through it as the Lord will let me. But I want to get us somewhere this evening that has really been the whole thrust of what we've been trying to preach out of these verses. Bible said in verse number 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are called, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I think we've sung about that a little bit tonight. We're excited about it. The Bible said, verse 5, amen, until that day mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And I want to read one more verse, verse 15, where the Bible said, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let's pray together, and we'll continue our thought on maturity in charity. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for our church. God, we understand tonight, Lord, we're no better than anybody else, and yet you provided a place here tonight. You provided things for us here tonight. And Lord, many churches have never seen, Lord, this evening, and haven't seen in a long time, and won't see for a long time. And so, Lord, we want to say thank you tonight for the good Spirit of the Lord that's in this place and the good liberty just testified of. And Lord, we're thankful for what you're doing. Seem like all day long we've just been meditating on what you're doing around our church. And Lord, we do want to say thank you tonight. And I pray, Father, you'd help us this evening, help our church, and Lord, to listen tonight and understand what we preach at and the importance of it. And Lord, the importance of guarding and protecting, Lord, the atmosphere and the spirit of unity that's here tonight. And Lord, may we grow in love one toward another and all that you do for us this evening and in days to come. Lord, we'll continue to give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. We've come to these verses of Scripture and understand that Paul is dealing with some of the doctrinal truths that he's given and their influence upon our lives as believers in our practical day-to-day Christianity, and specifically not just in our personal daily walk, but in our public walk, if you will, as it relates to our relationship to one another in church. He reminds us in verses 1 through 4, the man said to the believer, he deals with the fact that we're to be seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then in verse 2, we're to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And so we find that our mindset, our affection, our thinking, our desires ought to be that of spiritual and heavenly, not earthly and carnal. And so Paul deals in the fact this evening that in light of the fact that we've been saved, in light of the fact that Christ is coming again, that we are going to be called that ultimate position as God's children, that when he appears, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And in light of that, you and I better live our lives with a spiritual mindset and seeking the things of God. Can I say in passing on that, and in 2 2014, nearly 15 now, too many of us live with earthly mindsets. We live for the things in the world. We live for the pleasure in the world. We live for the entertainment of the world. We live, my friend, for the joy of this world. And I'm certainly not preaching tonight that we're not to enjoy that. My friend, we better make sure above all things that we maintain a mindset that is directed above and that is heavenly and is spiritual. Paul deals with in verse 5 down through verse 11 with what we've called the mortification of the believer. Not only the mindset, but he deals with the mortification of the believer. He said in verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, in light of the fact that you've been saved, in light of the fact of all the doctrinal truth that he's given, in light of the fact that Christ is coming again and your mindset is to be spiritual. You must understand that you're going to have to mortify the members of your flesh." He begins to deal with the fleshly nature and what it is and how it manifests itself in our lives, both outwardly in verses 5 through 7, but also inwardly in verse number 8, as we're dealing with anger and wrath and these things that are hidden away in the inside. My friend, we're to mortify. We're to take our flesh under control and literally put it to death, run it in the ground, and not let it have dominion over the way that we live our lives. We are saved tonight. We're in Christ, and we ought to live in the position and the separation that we've been given since we've been saved. Hey, man, I'm saved. I don't get to live any way I want to live tonight. I don't get to live according to what Jeff wants. Amen. Jeff in my flesh still wants everything that it's always wanted. And so my job as a child of God tonight, amen, is to take the reins of my flesh through the power of the Spirit of God and take control of it and put it to death today and bury it today. And guess what? Tomorrow it's going to try to raise back up and I'll have to do it all over again. That's the mortification of the believer. We're to put off of these things. We're to lay it aside. We're not to live in it and let it rule the way that we live our lives. In fact, amen, Paul reminds you and that, that we have put on in salvation, we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Listen, amen, you're saved tonight. You've got, amen, you've got a twin within you tonight. Amen, there's a saved Tim Davis, and there's a fleshly Tim Davis, and there's a saved Gerald Taylor, and there's a fleshly Gerald Taylor, and my friend, there's a twin within, and my friend, that battle and struggle that goes on, and Paul talked about in Galatians 5, Brother A.L., and the flesh and the spirit are lusting one against the other. Amen. How am I to live my life in the spirit, and how am I to live in victory, and live and be a portrayal in my daily life of that which I received the very moment I got saved? I'm to live in the new man. I'm to allow the new man to rise up and kill the old man. Amen. That a man have victory. And boy, I don't know why every time I go to preach this message, when I get to this point, I want to bog down right here. I'm telling you, amen, we need to mortify and we need to deal with our flesh. Amen. And let the Spirit of God, my friend, lead you and I into a spirit of victory. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm telling you, they that are born of God and are of the Spirit of God, Paul said in Romans 8, and they are led by the Spirit. Amen. They do not mind carnal, earthly, fleshly things. Amen. There's a part of me tonight, a man inside of me. Amen. That new man that's been renewed in the knowledge of after the image of the very Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All he desires is righteousness and goodness and perfection. section. Amen. And it's my job, my friend, tonight, to let that man given me when I shamed it. Amen. To rule and dominate my life. And to mortify my flesh every day. So I can be as a child of God what God has shamed me to be. Am I making sense tonight? Amen. The man said to the believer, the mortification of the believer, we're dealing with verses 12 down through verse 14 and even tonight verse 15, and dealing with this, Paul, I believe, deals with the maturity of the believer. He says in this passage of scripture in verse 14, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. Notice with me the word perfectness. Paul is saying, and there's some things in mortification you need to put off. There's some things in maturity that you need to put on. You not only need to get rid of some things out of your Christian life, but there's some things that you need to add to it and put in it and grow up in and mature in and allow the Spirit of God to perfect you in as it relates to your Christian life. I didn't listen when I got saved. I got everything I need. Amen. I got everything I need that very moment of time, Brother A.L., to be able to live a victorious Christian life. Amen. But since I've been saved, guess what? I've just been learning about all I've been given, and I'm to be growing and maturing in knowledge and in practice and in application. I'm to be adding them things to my life that would lead me, my friend, to be more like Christ. And so Paul is dealing with maturity, and specifically known women and that. And in dealing with their mortification, he says you need to put off some things. But in maturity, there's some things I need to put off. And specifically, the specific area that he's dealing with in verse number 14 is the matter of charity. He said, and above all these things, put on charity. All these other things are important, and we've already dealt with them, and I'll mention them again here in just a moment. They're important. Amen. But above everything you're to add to your Christian life, above all things that you're to be growing in, amen, there ought to be a maturing in your life. Amen. Gradually through time, amen, where you're growing up more and more in the matter of charity. Can I say this leads us to our thought, amen, that we're preaching on the maturity of charity. Charity is possessing the nature and the love of God in our hearts and in our lives, and how that we manifest in it, not only toward God, but more specifically, how you and I manifest it toward one another. Can I say tonight? And we all need to grow up in this matter. Amen. There ain't one of us that has arrived. And yet, my friend, the Lord desires that we do grow up in it, and we do mature in it, and we love one another more tonight than we did this time last year, and that, my friend, a year from now we'll love one another even more the same. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Maturity in charity. Amen. We understand in John 15 that the Lord dealt with this subject with his disciples when he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. Amen. In 1 John 3, John deals with the fact that we're not to love like Cain did. My friend, we're not to love in word only, but we're to love in deed and in truth. Amen. He deals with the fact that if we set our brother in need and shut up our bowels of compassion toward him, John said, how dwelleth the love of God in this man? He went on to deal with in the next chapter that God is love, and they that have experienced the love of God, they love one another because they know the love of God. Can I say tonight? And that's how it ought to be in our lives. We've been saved, and with that salvation came the love of God shed abroad upon our hearts and our lives, and God expects you and I to grow in that love as we manifest manifest in toward one another. And let me say tonight, maturity and charity. I want to jump right into this. We know that, amen, a few weeks ago, the path to maturity and charity. Notice with me his list of things in verse 12 and 13. I believe reveal the stepping stones of growth in our lives that lead you and I to maturity and charity. Amen. We noted, and first of all, in verse 12, as we are the elect of God and holy and beloved, we're saved, and we're to put on, therefore, bowels of mercy. This is the compassion and pity for the needs and sufferings of others. Amen. We're to be moved when others are moved. We're to hurt when others hurt. Paul wrote to the church in other places. He wrote about it in the Corinthians and the Romans. And the church is likened unto a body, and we each have our part. When one part of the body hurts, all the body hurts. I had my ass surgery this week and didn't have much pain on Monday and didn't have much pain on Tuesday. Come to church Tuesday night, and Dr. Steele told me it'd be this way. He said, your ass are funny. He said, we'll do all this surgery on it, and you'll think, man, I'm not having any pain. He said, but in a couple days, your ass will wake up, and they'll say, man, something has happened to me. And I went home Tuesday night and didn't sleep hardly at all Tuesday night from my ass a-hurting and a-burning and gritty, and the same thing on Wednesday. You know what I found? Amen, there wasn't a part of my body felt like doing anything because my ass were hurting. One part of my body was affecting. I was hurting and affecting the entirety of my body. And I say that's how it is when these bowels of mercies. And when one part and one member of the church is hurting, and it affects everybody else. And it affects how we think, and it affects how we do, and it affects how we minister. Why? Because that's the path of maturity and charity. And we're putting on bowels of mercy. We don't, my friends, shut ourselves off to the needs of others and their suffering and their problems. Rather, when we're able, we get under the load and we help one another shoulder their burdens. If you're going to have maturity and charity, amen, you got to learn to suffer when others suffer. Amen. Notice he deals with putting on kindness. That's the second step on the path of maturity and charity. This is the mellow and graceful disposition toward those we come in contact with. And you'll do a word study on this particular word, kindness, and you'll find that it deals with our attitude more so than our actions. And it is my attitude and my disposition toward my brother or my sister and those that, amen, God brings into my life. And my friend, I am supposed to be kind to them. Amen. We as independent Baptists have been labeled as being mean and my friend being cranky, and I understand that some of that just comes along with standing against sin. Can I say I'm afraid that many of us, my friend, have rightfully been, amen, labeled, don't get mad at me now, but we've been rightfully labeled as being cranky and being mean. Amen. Some Baptists ain't like to be qualified to be saved. Amen. Means you got to have an old sour look on your face, an old mean growling spirit. Amen. Can I say there's nothing wrong, amen, with just being kind one to another? And my friend, you'll never grow up in charity and mature in it without kindness. He deals with putting on humbleness of man. It has to deal with esteeming ourselves to be small in as much as we are. We're nothing in that. Amen. And you'll never mature in charity towards your brother and sister and those of the faith until you realize it. Amen. Exactly what you are and exactly how big you really are. Amen. We're zeros. And we're nothings tonight. Amen. Paul said, all that I am. If you can find anything in my life worth them bragging on it all. He said, I am what I am. By the grace of God. And I remind you tonight, we are what we are. By the grace of God. And when we lose sight of that, we begin to get proud and arrogant and lose sight of putting off the humbleness of man and realizing just how small we really are. You'll never love your brother like you ought to until you realize you're no better than he or she is. Amen. Oftentimes, I'm afraid we find it hard, amen, to mature in charity towards some because, amen, we think that we're at another level or another state. And can I just hit this in passing? Amen. There is no such thing tonight, amen, as some plateau where you get more spiritual and everybody else and nobody else can reach where you are. Amen. You better realize if you are spiritual tonight, amen, and if you are something tonight, my friend, it's only by the grace of God. And you better remember, you ain't always been there. You ain't always had it nailed down. You ain't always done right. You ain't always made every right decision. Amen. Too many times I'm afraid that we get this nailed down and that nailed down. And then we lose sight of keeping, amen, put on in our life this humbleness of mind. I'm to keep it on and realize that no matter how far God allows me to excel, no matter how far the Spirit of God takes my life, and really at the end of the day, it's all Him and it's none of me. Amen. I am to be humbly minded. Amen. I'm not to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. Amen. Amen. I'm not to do that, and you're not to do that. Amen. If we're to mature in charity, we must put on humbleness of mind. We must put on meekness. That's the inward grace of the soul. To respond in calmness when one has been wrong. It is the opposite of uncontrolled and unjustified anger. It's me, my friend, when I'm done wrong, responding with control and responding, my friend, in the Spirit of God. Amen. I'd like to preach there again, but we must put on long suffering if we're to mature in charity. Amen. We must be growing in that matter. This is the self-restraint. Before proceeding into action, it's the quality of a person who is able to avenge himself and yet refrains from doing so. How many times has somebody done you wrong and you could have settled the score? You could have said something that you knew about them, and yet, my friend, you was growing in the faith, you was maturing in your Christian life, and rather than retaliating and getting a mark for your sin, amen, and a point for your sin, amen, God allowed you through the Spirit, amen, to put on long suffering, amen, where you did not respond even though you could have. Amen. We're living in a generation, man, it's easy to settle scores. It's probably easier to settle scores in our day. All the technology and all the chat rooms and the Facebooks and the MySpaces and all the different avenues we have to communicate. Amen. It'd be real easy when somebody done you wrong and you knew something on them. Amen, man, you can get word out real quick, but you know what a real child of God is? Amen, who's saved and growing and maturing in the faith. Amen, they realize I could settle the score. I could avenge myself and take, amen, my pound of flesh. But yet I must act like Christ and be long-suffering and not settle scores when I'm able to. Amen. Hallelujah. You might as well say amen tonight. Now, I can't see y'all real good, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of smiles out there this evening. Amen. Put on. Amen. Forbearing one another. If I'm the mature in charity, I know this is getting a little lengthy. I'm not going to be long. I ain't got much more to cover than that. Amen. But just let me get this out. I feel good today. Amen. Have I told y'all I love preaching here? I'm just slapped beside myself. Amen. 3 times a week I get to preach right here to you folk. Amen. I love it. Amen. Can I say tonight, Charlie, I'm just having a time tonight. Had a time this morning. I'll have a time. Amen. Next Sunday when I get back, I can go preach to a bunch of dead mountain people on the other side of the state line this week. Amen. I'm sure we'll have a good time, but it won't be near as fun as preaching here. Amen. Hallelujah. So y'all smile on that. Amen. Put on forbearing one another. Amen. He said forbearing one another. In verse 13, this deals with and speaks of having patience in regard to the errors and weaknesses of others. Amen. But listen, it's all right to put up with some things. I remember I was talking to Brother Davis this afternoon about the revival meeting, and then he made the comment. He said there'll be a young preacher preaching with you each night up this week. And I said, Brother Davis, I'm going to be honest. I got a bad problem with what you just said. I said, why can't you say there'll be 2 young preachers preaching each night? Amen. And he said, well, you ain't the young preacher anymore. Amen. He said, maybe we can say there'll be a younger preacher. Amen. He said, but I've got an obligation to tell my people the truth, and it hurt my feelings all over again. I'm going blind. I'm going bald. I can't hear half the time. Amen. I feel like I'm falling apart at 35. Amen. And it's you Baptist's fault. Amen. Amen. Y'all made me 70 in a 35-year-old body. That's all right. Amen. That's my lot in life. But Gerald Winsley talking about the ministry and when we was young. And I remember, man, when I first started pastoring there, amen, I had some bull in a china closet. I wasn't going to put up with nothing there. Amen. Wasn't nobody going to tell me what to do. Amen. Listen, I remember one night there's a woman. It was, I mean, running me down the road and the church down the road. And I got preaching. I don't even know where I was a preaching, but I made a point, amen, to get on long tongue, big mouth women there. Amen. Told them they needed to shut up. Amen. And tore out of the service, went up and got one of them big paper cutters and threatened to cut their tongues off that night. Son, I was in a big way. I wasn't going to put up with it. And I'm not saying we ought to put up with everything, but you know what I've learned? Amen. In 13 years of pastoring, amen, if you're going to make it far, there's some things, amen, you're going to have to forbear with. Amen. There's some people you're just going to have to be patient with. Ain't always going to have it nailed down. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, amen, you ain't got to deal with that. Everything all the time. Amen. Listen, y'all know me. You've known me for a year. You're just about to learn me now. Amen. I'm not talking about overlooking sin. I'm not talking about my friend being a compromiser and a liberal. Amen. But you know what? I've learned some things God has a better way of dealing with than I do. Amen. Hallelujah, amen, amen, and amen. I've gone to deal with things and they wound up, amen, being this big, wearing me to death, amen, to being 10 times bigger, me pulling my hair out wondering what I was going to do. Then I've had them things, mountains that I just said, God, I'm going to have to deal with this and put up with it and let it be in your hands, and God, just bring it all together, amen, and change hearts and minds and ways of thinking. Amen. You know what I think? And I'm just starting to learn after being saved all these years, it's all right to put up with a few things. Amen. Hallelujah. We got churches running around, running 10 and 15 people bragging about what they don't put up with. Come on now. And I'm not condemning little churches. Listen, God has little churches. Amen. Far as I'm concerned, we're a little church, but amen, we're trying to grow and reach people and see God save folk. Amen. But I got a bad problem with folk, amen, running around and bragging about what they won't put up with. I ain't putting up with this. I ain't putting up with that. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm glad God puts up with some things in my life. Amen. There's been some days God should have slapped me silly, and yet His mercy, Brother Will, His mercy, yes, amen, would not allow Him to consume me. I ain't preaching compromise, but I'm telling you, Paul said you better learn how to forbear some things in people's lives. Am I in the book? Come on now, am I in the book? He said forbearing one another. Amen. It's easy to forbear when everybody's doing things right. And as a matter of fact, there ain't no forbearing at all in that. That's just kumbaya land. Amen. You forbear when somebody has an error and has a weakness. Amen. Friend needs to be, amen, dealt with in their life. And yet you say, God, I'm going to let you deal with it. And I'm going to be patient with what I know to be a flaw in their life. Whoa, hallelujah. You might as well say, man, I'm in the book, praise God. Forbearing one another. And then he said, if we're going to mature in charity, he deals with putting on, this is a big one, man, forgiving one another. I can tell you this tonight from personal experience. All I've ever known is independent, fundamental, King James Bible thumping, fundamental, amen, skirt, women skirt wearing, fundamental, yelling, screaming, stomping, snotting Baptist preacher, fundamental. That's all I've ever known. I mean, I was born a Baptist. Thank God I got saved at 17, but I've been a Baptist my whole life. I know something about us. I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about the Methodists, and I don't know a whole lot about the Presbyterians. I don't know a whole lot about, other than what I've studied about, these different folk. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I know a whole lot about us. One thing I've learned in my 35 years of being a Baptist, you mark it down, somebody's going to hurt you. Sure as the breath you just breathed, you're going to get hurt. I ain't saying it's right. I ain't saying that it ought to be that way. It's just how it is. Amen. You said, boy, I thought when I got saved, everybody's going to love me, and everybody's going to care for me, and everybody's going to treat me right. I got news for you, big news flash. It ain't that way. You're going to get hurt, and you're going to hurt. People are going to hurt you, and by the way, you're going to hurt people. We forget that side of it. We do hurt others. And Paul said, if you're going to, amen, grow in the bonds of perfectness, if you're going to mature in above all things, the matter of charity, amen, you've got to be learning and growing and putting on in your life, forgiving one another. Amen. Boy, it's easy to preach. I'll be honest, I'm having a real good time preaching it, making y'all squirm. But you know what I've learned? It ain't easy to live. I don't care what you say. It ain't easy to do. It ain't easy to put to practice in your life. But if I'm to be maturing in charity, and I understand, as Paul said, if any man have a quarrel against any, amen, that's where forgiveness comes in. This is pardoning someone by graciously remitting their sin. And in the close of this verse, it is the reflection of the life of Christ in ours. As Paul closes verse 13, saying, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I got news for you. You didn't deserve Christ to forgive you. All the offenses and all the things you did against the Lord before you got saved. By the way, all the things you've done since you've been saved. And He's been faithful to forgive. Paul said the way you are to forgive one another is the same way Christ has extended forgiveness to your life. Am I making sense? The path to maturity and charity. Let me say just a word in passing about the preeminence of maturity and charity. Notice, after going through verse 12 and 13, this list of things that I believe are essential, my friend, to you and I putting off to get to verse 14, he said, and above all these things, put on charity. Do you agree with me tonight as we've studied it together now in two sermons that vows of mercy and kindness and humbleness of man and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another and forgiving one another, that these are important things in our Christian life. And Paul looks at this crowd as he's penning down these words and he said, listen, above all these things, if you're going to forget anything, if you're going to leave out anything, above everything you learn to put on in your life, you better make sure you put on the matter of charity. These things help us get there. But Paul is saying, if you're going to be absent anything in your life, make sure it's not the matter, the nature, the love of God that's been given in your heart to your life. Make sure you're not void of growing and extending that love to others. Am I making sense tonight? Above all these things, this statement reveals it, though charity is closely connected to the list previously made, it is also preeminently distinct in the matter, my friend, from these others. Of all other things a believer should do and be, the greatest is to love one another. We can look at this thing both ways, Brother A.L. These things lead me to love you like I ought to, but if I love you like I ought to, I'll have no problem doing this list of things. Amen. I'm not trying to confuse you tonight. Remember Matthew 22, and the lawyer that came to the Lord and said, what is the greatest commandment? And the Lord looked at him and said, the greatest commandment of all is this, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And then the Lord is going to emphasize love even further when he said, and the second is like unto it. Here is the greatest, it is to love God. And the lawyer didn't even ask, what is the second greatest? But he made a point to say that if you're going to fulfill the first, the second is so closely connected that I can't leave you hanging. A second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. What is the Lord doing? He is showing the preeminence, my friend, in the life of the believer of loving and manifesting and maturing in the matter of charity. Amen. I've said this in weeks gone by, I don't want to harp on this, but of all the things the Lord could have said, the first and second greatest commandments were. He said, if you're going to be what you ought to be in the eyes of God, you better learn to love Him, and you better learn to love one another. Amen. Hello. Can I show you some real familiar verses in light of the truth I'm giving you? Look over in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm talking about, I want to emphasize it now. Amen. The greatest thing in your life ain't, my friend, where you go and don't go. Amen. It ain't what you wear and don't wear. And listen, I'm for all that. Well, you ought to nail that down. That's kindergarten stuff. But maturity and graduating from spiritual high school, you better learn to love one another. 1 Corinthians 13, let me see your Bible, Sam. Are you there? Please tell me you found it. You did. You're such a good preacher's kid. Amen. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Y'all preaching this little white preacher boy to death. I'm feeling like I can preach 3 hours right now, Brother A.L. If I have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, we don't believe in speaking in tongues. Could I put it in our realm of living tonight? If I could be a great orator, if I could communicate great truths and revelations of God, and expound this and expound that and have this vast knowledge that I could communicate. If I can do all that and I've not matured in loving God's people, Paul said, everything I say is just a bunch of noise. Is that what he said? And I'm for being smart. We ought to be smart. We ought to study, show ourselves approved unto God. But if I get the place, Brother Roger, where I am trying to impress you with what I know and I quit loving God's people, everything I say is just become a old broken wagon wheel. Just a bunch of noise. Yeah, man. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Man, if I could do miracles, but I have not, what did he say? And have not charity, I am nothing. If I could do great things, if I can rise up and in my knowledge and in my understanding and in what I have become in my Christian life, if I can do something great, even pick a mountain up with my faith and move it. He said, if I have not matured in charity. Paul makes a big statement. I am nothing. One of the problems I'm seeing in our independent fundamental Baptists is true from the pulpit clear to the pew is that we pride ourselves in what we are. I'm this. I'm that. I'm a Baptist. Hey, we ought to be proud about that. But Paul said, don't matter what you are, don't matter what you've done, if you do it without loving the brethren, all that you are becomes nothing. Am I in the book? I'm talking about the preeminence now. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, Paul's going to make another solid, I mean sobering statement. After all the things that I could do, amen. I think what Paul is saying, when I'm motivated that I am going to give to the poor so I can be recognized, I would even sacrifice and lay my body down to be burned so I could be a martyr and I could be uplifted. If I did all these things, still, if I do not do it being motivated by love for God's people, everything I'm doing to gain some type of recognition actually fails me and becomes of no profit to my life. Am I in the book? I'm talking about the preeminence of charity. Notice what he said. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Notice what he said. Just trying to hasten on here. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Notice what he said in the end, verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, here it is, but the greatest of these is charity. I'm afraid for too long we've been known for all the wrong things. Amen. Y'all might as well smile and say amen. Wave at me. We've been known for the wrong things. Paul said the greatest thing in the Christian life, the greatest virtue, the greatest grace, the greatest whatever you want to put on it, the greatest quality of a believer and a child of God is that they'd had charity in their life. It's the preeminence of the Christian life. Am I in the book? Okay, three of you think so. Thank you. Let me deal with this and I'm closing. I said I wasn't going to be long, didn't I, Brother Charlie? It's y'all's fault. the partnership in maturity and charity. Would you look back in your verse in Colossians 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on what? Charity. Preeminence, we've seen the path. And then he said, which is the what? The bond. The bond of perfectness. The word bond is a word that literally means there's an adherence that goes on where charity is manifested. That this love, this nature, the love of God that has been given to us is manifest to others. That literally it becomes a glue that binds the church together. Can I tell you tonight why many churches don't have what we have here tonight? And I'm not speaking down about them or to them. It's just the truth of the matter. And I want to drive a point home here tonight. Why do we have what we have here tonight? Because there is a spirit of charity. A maturity in charity. I've watched it over the last year. I've watched some of y'all grow closer together. Amen. And I'm not saying things was bad before I showed up. Now, that's not what I'm preaching. What I'm preaching is there's been a maturing in process of growing and loving one another. A year ago, I could sit back and I could see, not bad, and thank the Lord it wasn't bad, but you could see little groups here and there. You know what I see when I come in the church this evening and the last few weeks and the last few months? I ain't seeing no groups. I'm just seeing a church binding together. Amen. Now, this thing of charity, that don't mean I'm best friends with everybody in the church. Y'all understand I ain't preaching that. Come on now. There's some people you're going to have more things in common with and you're going to be closer with. But there ought not be anything that would hold me back from binding to my brother and sister that I attend church with. I ought not have to race out the door so I don't have to see somebody. Amen. I ought to have enough charity in my heart that I could adhere to and have no problem being glued to Gerald Taylor. Amen. And y'all, we laughed about it. Every church has a few folk. Man, this really puts a lot of pressure on the church to practice. Everybody ain't easy to love. Well, two of y'all agree with me. Come on now, am I the only one? Everybody ain't easy to love. I'm thinking of a woman right now, my first church, when she walked in the door, everybody, I mean, you could see everybody go, oh. Because she has a big mouth, and it wasn't no telling what she'd say, ramble on, and I mean, hard to love. But somebody had to love her. Amen. You say, I don't know nobody like that. Amen. You might be the one. Amen. That woman I'm talking about, she was clueless, son. She had no idea. Am I right, Mama? Yeah. She is clueless in a lot of ways. Somebody say amen right there. But you know what I've learned? If you'll love people, it'll bring them a long way. Amen. And Paul said, don't leave out charity, because charity is literally what bonds you together to one another. Now watch this. Here's I preached all that to get to this. Notice with me what verse 15 said. He said, and let the peace of God, is that what it said? I cannot read Sammy's Bible. There it is. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in what? One body. There's your church. It is the charity that I put on and maturing in that binds me to you. And watch this now. Maturity and charity leads to maturity and unity. When I can walk in and I can look at everybody and say, yep, I love them. I love him. I love them. I love this person, that person. Warts and all. Warts and all, I love them. Amen. You know what it does? It produces peace in my heart. It lets it rule in my life. Watch this. Maturity and charity leads to maturity and unity that leads to maturity and serenity. Do you understand? And I'm speaking from my heart to you tonight, and we're just about done. I promise, Brother Larry, I promise. I know I've said it three times, but we're almost done. Do you understand how many pastors tonight and today had to walk into their church? They put a smile on their face, but in the pit of their stomach, their nerves was getting eat out of them. Do you understand how many church members are part of a church that today their whole ride to church that morning was eat up, not with thoughts of, man, I can't wait to get to church, of saying, I don't know if I can do this again. So much fussing and fighting, and I'm going to promise you something, all that traces back to a bunch of people who are babies and have never grown up in the matter of maturity and charity. Amen. Now, I've made my mind up. I'm not old. I'm 35 years old. If you want to come in here and start trouble, you're not growing ulcers in me. I'm done with that. Son, I'll grow some in you. Amen. My first church, first 4 or 5 years, I'd do stupid things like I told y'all about a little bit ago. I remember one night I stood them all up, said, bless God, we're going over Canaan. Who's going? Stand up and follow your preacher. We marched all the way around. I mean, every person in there, wasn't nobody had the guts as running me down. Didn't nobody have the guts to stay seated. Every deacon's wife stabbing me in the back stood up and walked around the church. I had enough of that, so I started calling their names. I'm talking about standing down in front of the church. I said, bless God, you stood up and walked. Are you repenting all the stuff? Are you sure you're going to Canaan with us? And they got mad at me. You believe that? So I done stupid stuff like that back then first 4 or 5 years. But the Lord took a stupid thing and He actually turned it into blessing, because after about 4, 5, 6 years of that, they so scared to do much, they didn't know what they was going to get. Amen. I remember Saturday nights laying up all night. Amen. I'm just speaking from my heart that what we got here, somebody better guard it and protect it. I remember staying up on Saturday nights, Brother A.L., dreading 10 o'clock Sunday morning coming around. Amen. Are y'all in the building? You know why? Because there's a bunch of babies who wouldn't just grow up and let the love of God abound in their heart and say, you know what, we just love each other, and if we love each other, we surely won't have no trouble getting along. Because maturity and charity leads to maturity and unity, and where you have maturity and unity, there's maturity in the peace of God. He ended verse 15, and I'm done. I ain't even going to give invitation. We're just going to go home. That fair? Or do y'all want an invitation? He said, and be ye thankful. Where there is maturity and charity that has led to maturity and unity, that has led to maturity and serenity, guess what you get? You get services like we've been having the last month. Praise God. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is able to move and work in that atmosphere. And it moves God's people to say, I'm thankful. I got something I want to thank God for. It leads to a choir not just singing words on a page, but singing with thanksgiving in their heart unto the Lord. Amen. You say, preacher, it's hard for me with this relationship or that relationship. Listen, I'm not preaching fairy tale stuff. What I'm preaching tonight's the Bible. And understand, from you to me tonight, your family to my family, we all have room to grow in this. And imagine, Brother A.L., we'll just continue to grow in it as good as it is now. Imagine what it'd be a year from now. Imagine what it'd be 10 years from now. Shaw, it's just the honeymoon. I don't know if it is or not. I have a feeling it may be a little more to it than just the honeymoon. Amen. Lord help, we got to go home. I could let Larry stand up and give testimonies about places they've been. He'll tell you, it ain't just from the pastor's perspective, it's from church members' perspective. Amen. Hey, what are you saying, Brother Jeff? I'm saying just keep loving each other. You want to keep what we got? Keep loving each other. Want to keep what we got? Don't run each other down. Build each other up. Amen. It does what it's doing. Amen. And it's worth it all. Father, I love you. Thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for my church. And thank you, Lord, tonight for what you're doing. Lord, you know years ago I promised you, Lord, if you'd ever let me get in a place where we could lead a church, Lord, and see the stirrings of God doing a little something, that, Lord, we do everything in our ability to guard and protect the workings of God. Lord, I know you don't need us. You could just run us over. But, Father, we also understand that, Lord, it's our responsibilities as members of this church to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. That, Lord, we'll never do that if we don't mature in the matter of charity. Continue to bless us, Lord, not because we deserve it, not because you owe us anything, but because, Lord, we have desperate needs in our lives that, Father, only your hand of blessing can take care of. Lord, do it for your honor and do it for your glory. Do it for Jesus' sake. And, Lord, all that you do, we'll thank you for it. Bless every family and every life and every individual represented here tonight. And, Lord, we promise we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.